The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you. Hello, welcome once again to My Music. We have, on the one side, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden, and they're competing against Frank Muir and Frank's partner for this show, Owen Branigan. My favourite Geordie bar none. Right, let's get on with it. Forward march. And here are, in fact, four marches. Ian Wallace, music first, question after. Ian, whose arrangement of which tune?
The tune, I think, is called I'm 17 Come Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an arrangement, I think, for military band originally.
Yes.
By Ralph Vaughan Williams.
Exactly, from his English folk song suite, played there by the Royal Marines Band, and you have 2 out of 2. Mm. Dennis, your kind of march, perhaps. Title, please, Dennis, and the name of the band that made it famous.
The title is South Rampart Street Parade.
Yes.
I think all sorts of people made it famous. There was Bob Crosby.
Yes, his band really made it famous because it was his bass player who was the writer of the tune.
Ah, it was also associated, I think, with the Harlem Globetrotters. They always seemed to play that. And also it was in a film called Walking My Baby Back Home with Donald O'Connor. A long time ago.
Well, fair enough if you say so. The song I think really associated with the Harlem Globetrotters is Sweet Georgia Brown, special version by Bones and his brothers. Anyway, you're right. South Rampart Street Parade, featured initially by Bob Crosby's orchestra. 2 marks. Owen Branigan, for you, a rather unusual version of a march from the world of musical comedy.
Give me some men who are stout-hearted men, who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more.
Makes it sound terribly sexy, doesn't it? Barbara Streisand there. Branny, question, which show was that in? And for your second mark, can you give us a line or two of any other song from the same show? Which show?
I think it's Romberg, isn't it?
Yes, it's Romberg.
Joe Locke's signature tune, that used to be, Joseph Locke, a tenor.
Did it?
Yes.
Yes. That's right.
From the New Moon.
That's it. New Moon gets you 1 mark. Now, can you give me a line or two of any other song from the New Moon?
New Moon.
Must be New Moon.
Standing alone.
No. That's Frank. That's Frank singing, folks, not Owen Branigan. Well, softly, as in a
morning sun.
Or the moon was new.
Da-da-da-da-dum.
Yes. Or wanting you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing all the singing.
Wanting you.
I'm a bit low for musical comedy.
It's what's held me back to
showboat, anything like that, but not New Moon.
No, well, fair. You've got 1 mark out of 2 anyway.
It always makes me think that softly as in a morning sunrise. What other kind of sunrise is there?
Yes.
A good question.
Yeah.
Something tells me the tune was written first and then the words were added to it afterwards.
Oh, he went softly as in a something sunrise.
Could be day.
And then handed it to Hammerstein and said, here. Frank, title and composers, please, of this march. Thank you.
Oh, it's rather extraordinary arrangement of the Beatles song.
Yes.
So it'll be Lennon and McCartney.
Yes, and its title, is that a mark?
Oobly-doo, oobly-da.
Not quite.
Oobly-da, oobly-doo.
Oobly-doo.
Oobly-da.
Near enough for two marks, I think. I know it's not a view shared by everybody, but I always think we in Britain have one of the best and most durable national anthems in the world. From the point of view strictly of music, perhaps the French have the edge on this, but that's a matter of opinion. Ian, the Americans have a national air which they call My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Can you hum us a few bars, please, for a mark?
Well, I have a feeling that it is...
That's it. My Country, 'Tis of Thee. You're right. Same tune as God Save the Queen. You get a mark. Dennis, I mentioned the French national anthem, La Marseillaise. Rouget de Lisle wrote it, words and music, but what did he first call it? La Marseillaise, original title.
Salad cream.
That's what I was just going to say. That.
Or Marseillaise.
I don't know what he first... Something in French.
Well, not according to my information.
He may
have said it with a French accent.
Oh, well, then I don't know.
It was originally Battle Song of the Army of the Rhine.
In English it was that? He called...
No, in French it was that.
Ah.
In English it was Chanson de... de Bataille. De...
You really have got into the common market, haven't you?
I tell you an interesting thing, though. Its stirring powers, that song, were so great that a French general in difficulties reported to have demanded either 10,000 men or a few copies of the Marseillaise. It was the popularity of the song with the soldiers of Marseille, marching on Paris in 1792, that gave it its present name.
There's an art book that was published recently, and in the index, it had Marseillaise, then in brackets, rude. And I thought this was some kind of dirty version that had something, but it turned out to be a statue, a bit of sculpture of some Marseille women by a sculptor called Rude.
I doubt, in fact, whether that any political songs had so much effective political power as Lully Below.
Yeah. Which could well have been the next question.
Oh.
That isn't, fortunately.
Wow.
Owen Brannigan.
Yes.
Somebody once said, I must show the English what a blessing they have in God Save the King. Who said that?
I can't say exactly who, but it must have been either Beethoven or Haydn.
Well, don't go any further.
Or Weber.
Well, don't go any further. Which which of the two would you like? Beethoven or possibly Haydn?
I'll take the bait.
You're absolutely right, yes. My first time. Beethoven, who wrote a set of variations on the tune and incorporated in his Battle Symphony. About 20 different nations, incidentally, at one time or another adopted that tune for their own national songs. Frank, the present national anthem of the United States of America was written, the words, in 1814, the music having been composed in 1771. When was it officially adopted as the American national anthem?
Well, it's that.
Yes. An incredible answer to me, anyway, but there it is. We'll see.
What's extraordinary about national anthems is they almost invariably belong to other nations. Such as ours is German plain song. And that's English, isn't it?
I don't know. I didn't ask you. I just said, when was it officially adopted? I don't think it's English.
It was the sort of club song of an aristocratic glee club in the late 18th century in England.
Shall I try asking the question again?
Anacreontic.
Shall I try asking the question again?
Anacreon in heaven.
When was it officially adopted as the United States?
I don't know.
Surely an obvious man.
Well, the answer, amazingly enough, is 1931.
No.
Thank you for being amazed. Thank you.
Well, what did they play at the Olympics when the Americans won before that?
Oh, that's My Country, 'Tis of Thee, for all I know.
They played My Country, 'Tis of Thee, didn't they?
Probably.
In the First World War, they did.
Middle bits. From the middle bit of a well-known piece of music, can you identify the piece? Ian, this is the middle eight bars of what? I don't think it goes on like that.
No, it does if you can't think of the words. It's Noel Coward, as
that's
you
right,
absolutely
yes.
certain of that. But
it's from
what? Dennis?
Well, no, he didn't write it.
No, I thought he might be able to.
No.
But it's
I have to give you half a mark. You've got the composer. It's If Love Were All from Bittersweet. I believe in doing what I can. Dennis. Dennis, I bet you can't name this without singing through to the end of the song. We'll see, anyway.
So do you.
Yes, very good, yeah. That's right. Da, 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 da. I know why, brackets, and so do you, close the bracket. That's the correct
Sun Valley Serenade.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
With a marvellous girl called Lynn Barry. They don't make girls that look like that anymore. Well, at least I don't. Yeah.
She got stuck in a revolving door, you know, and was never seen again. Branny, the middle bit of something orchestral for you. What's its title?
Listen to him, Branny. You'll learn a few things.
Yeah. First time we've had Owen Branny. I never heard so much singing from Frank.
I egg them on, you see.
Do you know what it is, Branny?
I really don't know the title. I know
give you the title, you tell me the composer, or vice versa for half marks. What would you like? I'll tell you the composer. Shall I? It's Tchaikovsky. No, nope.
One of the waltzes.
It's the waltz from. Can't help you anymore.
No,
I really can't give it to you.
No, I can't.
Da 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 dum bum bum bum. Serenade for strings. Yes, the waltz from Serenade for Strings. Frank, short this, but easily identifiable. This middle bit. You just went wrong.
It's the Flight of the Bumblebee
by Rimsky-Korsakov, middle eight. Leading at the moment, but only at the moment, by 1.5 marks, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Here's the next round. As both Branny and Ian can testify, a singer is often called upon to sing in a language which is not his own. You could often tell when there's a bit of a linguistic struggle going on, though naturally some singers manage it better than others. This is a difficult round. I'll be interested to see how you get on with it. You will hear someone well-known singing in his or her own role, but in a language they were not born to. Name, please, the language we hear and the nationality of the singer. Of course, it'll help if you can identify the voice. So, Ian Wallace, the language of the song, please, which is easy, and the nationality, if you can, of the singer.
Di Provenza il mar il suol qui dal core ti cancellò, qui dal core ti cancellò. Di Provenza il mar il suol. All'attio fulgente sol, qual destino figuro, qual destino figuro. All'attio fulgente sol.
Now, it doesn't matter what the song is, it's simply a case of nationality, of the words and the singer.
You know, this is a very dangerous round for causing international incidents. because one is liable to say that Mr. So-and-so, who is a such-and-such, can't sing in such-and-such. It's all very, very tricky, this, but the language is Italian that he's singing in. He's singing J'ai mon père aria from La Traviata. Yeah. And I would suspect, not because the Italian pronunciation is all that bad, but it is the type of production that gives it away, because no Italian ever sang Di Provenza with that
which is essentially
production which comes from a different kind of thing altogether, you see. It would sing Mozart very beautifully.
That's right.
And I think I'm not going to name the singer, although I think I could, but I would say that this singer is German.
Yes, that's right. His name, his surname has a hyphen.
I thought it might.
Yes. That's right.
But we're not going to say who it is.
No, not to say who it is. No.
Marlene Dietrich.
A very shrewd guess,
yes,
actually.
Yes, very shrewd guess, yes. Two marks, yes. A German singing in Italian. Dennis, again, please, language and the singer's nationality.
Ah, voglio bene assai, dici te in cielo vuoi, che non mi scorda mai.
Well, it's jolly good. It's voglio bene must be Italian.
Yes.
I don't know who it is. It's not American, I don't
no,
think, because they
right.
do something. It's when Cole, I don't know if you know that record of Cole Espanol, when he does yes. the Spanish, he kind of Americanizes it.
Yes,
I would say probably it's English, because it didn't have a French sort of cadence in it either.
Well, the right word would have been British.
Well, the right word's always British if you're also heard in Scotland. <yeah. laughs>
One and a half to you, because he was born in India. His original name, Harry Webb. His name now...
Cliff Richard.
Cliff Richard. Mm. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, Cliff Richard singing very well, I thought, there in Italian. Owen Branigan, how about this?
Lara, 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 Opera gran la scosta. Lara, 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 la 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 la.
You are
now the language we heard there, Branny, was
bad Geordie, I think that was.
Almost accept that for a mark.
No, we're sure it's Italian.
Yes, he was singing in Italian. I guess.
Yes, an Englishman.
No, not an Englishman.
You said that.
He was rather acting it up, I thought.
Yes. He was an Italian, was he?
No, his name was originally Varanoff, but he was born in New York.
Oh,
he's
see.
An American, Leonard Warren.
Oh, yes.
It was Leonard
very
Warren
nice,
singing
yeah.
there.
Very
I get
nice.
You one mark out of two, Italian. And Frank, your turn. I could never think of that. Hear that without thinking of Clara Cluck. But
it wasn't. Is it a song that goes?
The languages.
It was sung in French.
Yes, that's one mark. Thank you. And the nationality of the lady singing.
Hang on. Just on that little thing, Liz.
Who said that? Who said that?
Well,
you said that without
said
moving
it.
Your lips.
Me?
If it's right, my friend said it. If it's wrong, I said it.
What nationality would that be,
Spanish.
Spanish gets Spanish. You the other mark. It was Victoria de Los Angeles. Yes. In this final round, we're going to get a bit maudlin and sing some goodbye songs. The answer to each question is in the words of the song which you're expected to sing, gentlemen. Leaving Ian till last, we begin with Dennis. Dennis, you are saying goodbye to Tootsie. Kiss me, Tootsie, and then what?
Kiss me over again.
then.
Wait for the mail. I'll never fail. If you don't get a letter, then you'll know I'm in jail. Da da da, tootsie, goodbye. People generally burst out into applause round about.
That's the bit where you start clapping.
Yes.
2 marks to you, Dennis. Owen Branigan, what farewell message have you for Miss Gray?
Now, this is a bit of beginner's luck, because I once saw...
You've got your music with you.
No. Because I once was the lowest form of human being. It doesn't exist now, but it was a concert party baritone. And you used to have to sing all these funny little songs and make the tea and collect the tickets and everything, you know. And Dolly Gray is one of the songs that I'll try and remember now. And it goes, goodbye, Dolly, I must leave you, though it breaks my heart to go. Something tells me I am needed at the front to fight for foe. See, the soldier girls are marching, and I can no longer stay. Hark, I hear the bugles calling. Goodbye, Doris Day.
And its sequel, Hello, Dolly.
Owen Branigan gets 2 marks for the song and an extra mark for putting Doris Day on the end. That's 3. Thank you. 3 out of 2. All right, got that?
Good.
Frank, how do Peter Cook and Dudley Moore say goodbye?
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Leaving you.
Leaving you.
Goodbye.
I wish you all a goodbye.
Well, one slides under the piano and plays it backwards. And,
I suppose
so.
I suppose I must grudgingly give you the marks. Anyway, that leaves Ian. What happens, Ian, at the conclusion of a day which can only be described as one of perfection?
Oh. A not touch of the Cary Jacobs bonds.
No, you've got it. can I give you a clef?
Oh, give me a clef, yes.
When you come to the end of a perfect day and you sit alone with your thought, while the chimes ring out with a carol for the joy that the day has brought. For memory has painted this perfect day in colors that never fade. And we find at the end of a
regretfully, we end this programme with a special thank you to Owen Branigan for putting up with us. It's just up to me now to say goodbye, to thank you for listening, and to tell you that this programme has proved to be a victory by 1 mark, sorry, Branny, for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were Owen Branigan, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.